Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
6:14, call it 6:15, if you will. Final day of April, and no surprise, it's getting warm, and it's going to be warm until, I'd say, maybe October. Not to be the bearer of bad news or anything, but highs today of 86, and as the phone continues to go crazy here, I'll tell you the rest of it in a moment. Highs today of 86, 87 tomorrow, 85 on Friday with a 45% chance for showers. Then, unfortunately, come Saturday, Jazz Fest, man, you're talking about an 80% chance for showers. So I don't know if that's going to be a washout or dodging the thunderstorms or whatever it is, or if it's going to be thunderstorms, but we'll talk about it as we get a little bit closer and get nailed down a little bit more. Then a little bit of a weak cool front comes through, high Sunday of 79, and that's going to keep the highs in the lower 80s until next week. It is currently 6:15, and I believe we're joined by Mark Hamrick, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst, to talk about a new report and break down some things. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, sir. Yes, believe it. I'm here. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Let's talk about, before we get to the job openings and labor turnover survey, lots been made about President Trump's first 100 days in office. People a lot of times see what they want to see, hear what they want to hear. I'm all about a bottom line dollar and cents kind of guy. I don't care about the politics. I don't care about red or blue. I care about green, and I care about my pocketbook and savings, et cetera. Is there any way to put a label or in any way determine what the first 100 days of President Trump's presidency have either helped, hurt the economy? Too early to tell. Talk to me about that, Mark.
Sure. Well, you know, we're all about following the data. And at the end of the day, we have a collection of soft data, which is about sentiment or psychology, mostly on the part of consumers, but mm-hmm. CEO and business leader sentiment surveys. The small business trade group, NFIB, does its own survey. You have home builder surveys. And then you have the so-called hard data, which is, you know, measuring actual activity. Broadly speaking, and I'm speaking in the very broadest terms, a lot of the hard data has remained upbeat or, I would say in line with trends that we saw toward the end of last year. But it is really the sentiment data that is looking very, very weak. And so that's University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. That's the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Survey. And generally speaking, on the sentiment parts, it's about having a downbeat feeling about where the economy is and an even worse feeling about where it's headed. And so on the Conference Board's reading that was released just yesterday, consumer confidence made a fifth straight monthly decline and fell to the lowest level since April 2020. And we have to sort of remember what was going on in April 2020, which was when the economy was in a tailspin.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
That's when we were really in the depth of the economic aspects of that. And the other part is that expectations are very weak. The measure of that is at the lowest since, and this goes way back, October of 2011. And then the other part is that people have expectations that inflation will not only persist, but actually become much more worse. Without getting into the weeds on what those measures look like, it's just that people, you know, had identified as inflation and elevated prices as the number one economic issue of the presidential election, and now they think it's getting worse than what it was before. And so that puts us in a bad place attitudinally, and we'll see whether the outlook, the reality of the outlook matches these concerns. So, you know, you have other areas like the job market. We've got a jobs report this week. It's expected to show a decline in, not a decline, but slower hiring on the month compared to the 228,000 jobs that were added in February. But the unemployment rate's expected to be at 4.2%. But I think the main thing about all this is that the real impacts of the tariffs have yet to be felt. How long they last, how long the tariffs stay in place, you know, it seems to be almost a day-to-day thing, but people are very concerned about the outlook.
So when it comes to the hard data of not, you know, we did this, they didn't do that, but prices, inflation, et cetera, have prices come down? Has inflation slowed?
I would say that inflation has really sort of steadied, but hasn't substantially improved. And so the Federal Reserve's main gauge of inflation is due out here shortly, and it's expected to rise at a year-over-year rate of 2.5%. So 2.5% is a lot better than 9%, which is what we had during the worst days of the pandemic-caused inflation. The consumer sentiment reading I just told you about, consumers are fearful that we're going to have a near-term inflation rate of 7%, which would be well above what we've seen recently. And so that is the concern, that taxes on imports are essentially present two likelihoods. One is higher prices, the other is slower growth. And that's in the event that it's actually available, that the goods are actually available to buy, because we're being warned by the retail executives that we may see some bare store shelves once again. We'll see. So, you know, the problem with inflation is we need to differentiate that from elevated price levels, because those latter price levels are the ultimate outcome of inflation. As prices continue to rise, it takes them to a higher level. Obviously, we've seen some declines in gasoline prices. We've seen moderation in food prices. But I don't hear too many people, let's say, in my day-to-day life, or certainly not from an economic analysis standpoint, saying, hey, you know, look at the bargains we're getting out there. That's just not part of the conversation.
So many people want to spin it one way or the other. The economy is great. The economy is not so great. The economy is a huge definition in and of itself, right? It's what is the economy to you? We'll take a break, pick it up when we come back. Mark Hamrick's our guest, our friend, Bankrate senior economic analyst, rather. We'll talk about the jobs report, April jobs report coming up later this week. And also, I would ask you on the Oakenheart Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870, leave President Trump out of it. Just in general, what grade would you give the economy as it relates to you and your life? A, B, C, D, or E? And incomplete is not in there. You can't have an incomplete. A, B, C, D, or E as it affects your personal life? I would say, for me, probably a B. Plus, 622 traffic now, WWL. 624 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Apparently, I said A, B, C, D, or E. I don't know where the E came from. A, B, C, D, or F, what grade would you give the economy? I don't know where they came from. Mark, the text come in, and math is not my strong suit. What's that got to do with Alpha?
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
But I don't know. A plus says one text. Another one says B minus. Groceries are too expensive. Another text says, Tommy, the grocery prices are astronomical. Still, you go buy a few items at the store, everything is so high, it definitely affects my way of life every day, so I give it a D plus. And Mark, I'm somewhat insulated because, you know, I eat chicken breast, brown rice, and cereal, muesli cereal, which is like a bag of oats for a horse, and bananas and raisins. So my grocery list is pretty inelastic. I buy the same stuff over and over, so I don't really notice it. But when it comes to, like, grocery store prices, is that in a different category, or is there an amalgam of all of these things to say where grocery prices are?
Well, that's why I mentioned the Fed's preferred measure, which is personal consumption expenditures price index. And that essentially tries to talk about the year-over-year increase. But I think the more important thing is that if you look at the consumer price index, which is just another way of measuring the broad basket of all goods out there, including groceries, that continues to go higher. So, you know, we may say, or economists may say, or the Federal Reserve may say that, let's say, the inflation rate is down from before. That's really the month over month and year over year change. It's unless something precipitous happens over a prolonged period of time that we don't anticipate, those prices are always going to be moving up. You know, there may be some variations where, you know, you get a bargain on pork, you get a see a decline in chicken prices, steak doesn't ever seem to go down. But, you know, there are just some categories in the grocery store. Let's just say you do see some volatility in the grocery store, but, you know, we're also bracing for the impacts with respect to both Canada and Mexico, because we import the majority of our fruits and vegetables from those two countries. You know, we want to have our mangoes and our avocados 24/7, 365, and we don't have the capacity to grow all those things in the United States all year long. So this will be something to watch, and we'll see how consumers react to things as they evolve. The container ship traffic coming into the West Coast from China is right now positioned to decline somewhere between 30% and 40% in the next few weeks. And so what I'm concerned about is that will have a ripple effect on trucking, because truckers typically are used to move those goods all across the country. You know, the ships can only go so far. And then, you know, what happens when that traffic and that those cargo shipments are not ending up on store shelves? You can imagine a series of domino effects where it affects, first of all, the truckers. You know, they're not going to pay those people to do nothing. And then the retail stores see a drop off in sales. And then maybe we see store closings if this persists. And the ripple effect then shows up in higher unemployment and lower hiring. So the stage is set for this to happen in the next few weeks. And I think we'll be talking about it to see just how it's affecting the economy that people are experiencing.
Hey, tariffs. Has anything happened yet with tariffs? I know it seems as though the president imposed tariffs on automakers, but then he backed down. So I don't know if the art of the deal was he negotiated himself out of tariffs. I don't understand where we are on any of this. Do you know if we're the consumer, when, at what point do we start feeling the effects of tariffs? I know you alluded to it just now, yeah. But at what point do we know?
Well, you know, simply speaking on the auto tariffs, I think the impact of what was announced yesterday where they said there was a deal, and you're right, I don't think there was anybody on the other side of any table per se that there was an agreement made with. I think essentially what he said was we're not going to sort of stack tariffs where a car, a particular car, is going to be hit by multiple tariffs. But the tariffs of 25% on automobiles are still set to take effect, and we still have the similar situation with steel and aluminum, and you still have the broad range affecting dozens of countries where you have the baseline tariff of a minimum of 10%, including the famous island with only penguins and no trade, and of course the 100% plus on China. All those are, you know, right now, I think, in this 90-day cooling off period, so to speak, and this is when we're supposed to have this, you know, golden age of deal making. But the reality is that trade agreements typically, broadly, take more than a year to be negotiated. So if we do get some that are actually in place in the not too distant future, that would be welcome and also be a historical outlier. So we saw a lot of trade coming to the United States in the first quarter as companies tried to get ahead of the tariffs. There was a lot of automobile buying in the first quarter, but as those prices actually take effect at a higher level, you know, consumers no doubt will be cutting back if the current situation continues.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your time and your insight as always. We'll talk to you again soon. Mark Hamrick, our friend, Bankrate senior economic analyst. We'll take a break, come back, talk about some no new taxes sign that have been popping up in Orleans Parish. BGR says they might be misleading. We'll talk about it when we return. Right now, 6:30, time for WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7, going to be warm, and Saturday's looking rainy as it stands now. Let me go to a story here at NOLA.com, our friends and partners at NOLA.com by Joseph Cranny. Mysterious campaign signs cropped up around New Orleans that falsely attack a tax renewal from New Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office, leaving Sheriff Susan Hudson scrambling to correct the record before the referendum goes to a vote on Saturday. No new taxes, the signs, which don't disclose who made them, read in all capital letters, vote no on Sheriff's 10-year millage, election date May 3rd. But the tax that Hudson wants voters to renew is in fact not new. It has helped fund a significant chunk of the sheriff's office budget since 2014, and it wouldn't cause anybody's tax bills to go up. She says it's a lie, it's dangerous, does Susan Hudson. We'll talk to her tomorrow. And she says the office projects rather that the tax would continue collecting about $13.1 million a year, or roughly 20% of OPSO's operating budget. So what is good? What's bad? Where's the truth lie? I don't know. Let's go to the Bureau of Governmental Research and talk to our friends Becky Mowbray, who is the president, Rebecca Mowbray, president, I hope I can call you Becky, president and CEO of BGR, and Nate Pabon Trinidad, the research analyst at BGR. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. How are y'all?
Good morning, Tommy. We're thrilled to be here.
Thanks for taking the time. I don't know who wants to go first or if you two can see each other and give each other cues as to who's talking when or where or what. But Rebecca, I guess we'll start with you. And basically, what is this millage vote about?
Sure. This vote that would be this Saturday, May 3rd, is a proposal to renew a tax that has funded a portion of the sheriff's office budget for the last 10 years. It is a tax that would generate, you know, about $12, $13 million a year. And it supports operations at the jail. And it doesn't provide everything. It actually, the city pays for the lion's share of the costs at the jail, but it is an important baseline of funding, you know, to keep the jail running, pay for programs, operations, a certain amount of staffing, things like that.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while, and I can't believe it took this long for the light to go off above me. But, Nate, you might want to check in on this because or weigh in on this. Millages are never put on the ballot, I don't think, in perpetuity, are they? And as a result, they have to be renewed. And inevitably, when it comes time to paying for what people are already getting, opposition arises and it's viewed as a new tax when in fact it's not. Is that pretty much the nature of the beast?
Yeah, you're correct. Even in our report, we acknowledge that the 10-year lifespan, this if renewed, the tax would run from 2026 till 2036. This is pretty much in line with most property taxes in the state. We acknowledge this in the report. And yeah, it's been in the rolls since about 2015, about 10 years ago. And it would stay at the same level, 2.46 mils, for the duration of the next 10 years, if renewed.
So I think what people sometimes have a problem with is either transparency or tracking the money. They pay these millages and then they think it goes, and maybe it may, I don't know, that it goes into this big giant vacuum or whatever you want to call it, pool, this lake, pond, whatever you want to call it, and then it's never seen again. Let's take a break. We come back. One of y'all can address the transparency when it comes to sheriff's office and this millage and where the money's going, and if for whatever reason the millage is not approved, what would the results be? And I don't know that. Do you guys take a position on it for or against, or do you just weigh in on what it would do?
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, it's Becky. We did take a position in favor of this tax, largely because if it were to disappear, then the city would be on the hook for funding everything. And there's a lot of competition for money for things at the city. And historically, there's been a lot of friction between the city and the sheriff's office over the jail. And so if you have this base level of funding coming from the tax, at least it's something, and you know, there's less competition for other funding from the city council.
We'll pick it up here when we come back. It just seems like a bad situation in general where the millage is there for 10 years, whatever millage it is, and then it has to be renewed. And what happens along those timelines is inflation happens, so the price of everything goes up. People get squeezed, so they don't want to pay any more. It's viewed as a new tax, so they say, nope, I'm not paying any more, when in fact it's just to pay for what they're already getting, the price of which has gone up. And, oh, by the way, you factor in politics, because the people that sometimes administer these agencies that collect the millages are elected officials, and then their popularity factors in all of this as well. We'll take a break, come back, continue our conversation with the people from BGR, Bureau of Governmental Research, about the millage for the Orleans Parish Sheriff's Office that's on the ballot May 3rd. Right now, let's pause and take a look at traffic on WWL. 6:58, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Becky Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, Nate Pabon Trinidad, Research Analyst at BGR, about Susan Hudson and a property tax millage renewal that's on the ballot. I want to get to this text line if I can, y'all, because I was talking to an official yesterday about the intricacies of bond and a garbage contract and of a bond, and I realized a lot of people listening probably didn't even know what a bond was. So let me read a couple of texts here, and you can jump in where y'all feel comfortable, all right? Where's all the additional tax revenue from the Super Bowl and the Taylor Swift tax revenue? People ask that, so you can tell them that. And also, what about the money in tracking where it's spent? You got about a minute. Go ahead. Good luck. Thank you.
So in terms of tracking where the money is spent for the tax, that's actually one of our recommendations we built into the position we took in favor of it, which was the sheriff really needs to take initiative in reporting how the tax is spent, which historically hasn't been done as clearly, and just reporting to the public in general how the jail performance is doing and its progress towards improving it, as well as just improving long-term planning of funding for the jail and ways to get that funding by reaching a cooperative agreement with the city and the mayor. As far as the first question isn't really in our purview of the report.
Thank you.
But yeah, those are the recommendations.
Gotcha. I appreciate the time. We'll be back, WWL.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.